Over the summer, the White House made a declaration. The nation's war on poverty was, quote, largely over and a success. This was part of the administration's argument for enacting stricter work requirements for public assistance. At the same time, unemployment is at 3.7% and the stock market is booming. So, is the war on poverty really won? Well, this week we're working with the Center for Public Integrity to check in on parts of the country that are still struggling with poverty. Our first stop today, Presidio, Texas. The small, poor border town depends on its relationship with Ojinaga, Mexico, just steps away across the Rio Grande. The town would also be directly impacted by the president's proposed border wall.
Yeah. Well, as you've seen, border town life is not what they say in the news. You know, there's a lot of killings, and I'm sure there are some places that have really bad crime. But, I mean, living here, it's really quiet. It's, you know everybody.
Dave Leventhal is here to tell us all about this. He's the federal politics editor for the Center for Public Integrity, and he's the editor of its new six-part series. Dave, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you, Tanzina.
So what is Presidio, Texas like?
Presidio, Texas is sort of this idiosyncratic little city in Texas. I used to report from Texas. I've been there several times. And our reporter, Suhana Hussein, who spent some time this summer down there, found a place that really cut against the stereotype of what a border town is in the United States. And what I mean by that is that Presidio is incredibly dependent on its cross-border sister town in Mexico, Ojinaga, Mexico. And as a result, quite literally, people depend on Ojinaga for the basics of life, groceries, water, transportation, family. There's such a cultural connection, almost a symbiosis there, that were a border wall to be built, most of the people there feel as if the community would be not only cut off, but even killed by its own country. And they feel that the debate in Washington is a world away from the reality that they're living down there, which is very bleak and in high poverty, not a whole lot of crime, but certainly a lot of needs that they feel go well beyond a border wall. They don't want the wall at all.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you said it's a high poverty area, going quite in contrast with what the administration announced this summer, that the war on poverty is largely over. What is the main concern for folks in Presidio? If it's not immigration, if it's not the wall, is it poverty or is it something else?
It's poverty, but it's also jobs, which I suppose the two are inextricably linked. It's health. A very odd twist in the story is that if you have an injury, if you're very sick and you need to get medical care, there's only the most rudimentary basic medical care available in Presidio, and you have to rely on the hospitals in Ojinaga to get critical medical care. Otherwise, you're going to be medevaced to a Texas city that, at minimum, will be an hour away, and if you really need serious care, it could be 4 hours away by cars. So as a result, people feel very isolated. They feel that Washington and the federal government, in a way, is not heeding their concerns. This is a place where, up until a couple of years ago, many of the streets were unpaved in the city, literally a dirt road town. So something that you would expect, not necessarily in Texas, but much more in Mexico. But the narrative has sort of flipped 180.
Why is this it's interesting that you mentioned the narrative. And in fact, for healthcare, Americans having to go across the border into Mexico to get health care? I just want to make sure I understood that correctly.
That's true. And even for non-critical care, your dentist might be there. Certainly other sundries and daily necessities might be there too. So health both in an acute situation, but also too in just keeping yourself fed, keeping your family fed, making sure that you have the basics of daily life. This is really the reality there. And if it becomes more difficult for the cross-border flow to flow, as it were, then that would be something that would be potentially disastrous in many of the minds of the people of Presidio were that to come to bear.
Well, it also seems to, again, also fly in the face of the narrative that we need to, quote unquote, build a wall when there's this type of symbiotic relationship going back and forth between these two communities. You know, Dave, you guys are looking at a number of different places around the country, and we'll be focusing on those throughout the week. But tell us why you chose the places you chose. What is it about these individual places that tells a story that's different about the nation's war on poverty?
You alluded to it earlier, but yeah, Donald Trump, as president, has taken a sort of victory lap this summer and into the fall, saying that, hey, the war on poverty has largely been won, that the economy is incredible, that the stock market is at its highest heights. And for many parts of the country, that is absolutely true, and people are doing extremely well, must underscore that. But there are places that feel incredibly forgotten, and that even though things might be great on one coast or another in this big city or that they are struggling. It might be an issue of education. We go to Yazoo City, Mississippi to tell an incredibly heart-wrenching story there. St. Louis, Missouri, where housing is such an issue on everyone's mind, or should I say the lack thereof. We go to a place like Standing Rock, the reservation in North Dakota, where people feel incredibly disenfranchised. All these places that we may have only gone to six, but are representative of many other places throughout the country, whether it's the mountains of West Virginia, maybe the rural parts of Florida, Gary, Indiana, Flint, Michigan. These are all places that are struggling, that have a reality that goes against what some leaders in Washington would like to have you believe.
Well, we've got about a minute left, and obviously we've just got a couple weeks left before the midterm elections. What could those elections mean for communities like Presidio?
Well, all of this is happening with the backdrop of the midterm election, and people have a choice to make. They're making it now in early voting in some states. They will certainly have the opportunity to make that choice in November come election day. So for places like this that are struggling, they face a big question too, which is whether they want to participate or even if they can participate. The reality for a lot of people is simply when you're working three jobs and just trying to make ends meet and keep your head above the poverty line, it's very difficult to participate in such a critical vote as the one that we're facing right now.
Dave Leventhal is the federal politics editor for the Center for Public Integrity and editor of this new six-part series. It launches tomorrow, and we'll have a link of it on our site, thetakeaway.org, and we'll be bringing you many more profiles of these communities in need all week. Dave, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.